Well, the yellowtail was impressed with the way I landed her boyfriend. She came over to me, she said, "Hey, big boy, you're really a game fish. What's your name?" I said, "Marlin." Well, from then on, we had a whale of a time. I took her to dinner. I took her to dance. I bought her a bouquet of flounders. And then I went home with her. And what did I get for my trouble? A case of the clams.
And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi.
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. I just realized when we get to Rebels, it's going to be so hard not to say Star Wars Rebels and it's going to be so bad. I'm going to do it like for our first like 10 episodes. In this episode, the Republic and the Gungan forces have been captured by Riff Tamsin and his Karkaradon force enforcers. Now it's up to Ahsoka and the young Prince Lee Char to unite the fractured people of Mon Cala and drive out the separatist invaders. There will be Jar Jar spitting on people, exploding sharks, and Charlie finally gets his Kraken on. We're talking about prisoners this week. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good.
I'm doing good, too. Oh my god, so have you watched, like, any of Forces of Destiny?
I watched the first two. Last night, yeah, actually.
The new one just came out like 4 hours ago. And it's Leia.
The Princess Leia one, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, they're really cute.
They're cute, but they're, you know, they're okay. You know, I saw them and I was like, oh, okay, that's it. They're just, okay. They're sort of like the very first Clone Wars ones. But they're a lot simpler, and I mean the other, like when they did the first Clone Wars series, I think they were like 2 or 3 minutes too, but they were just like a bam 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 bam, you know, they were battles, so it was different. These are more like, you know, just a short little character moment, and the two of them also linked together, you know, and they were also something that could possibly, you know, that fits in, you know, is almost like a bonus scene to The Force Awakens or something.
Yeah.
But they weren't like revelatory of anything of the characters or something. They were just nice little incidents, you know, nice little shorts.
Yeah. I liked with at least the Rey ones, which was what's it called? We got to see her use the Force before her showdown with Kylo Ren, so that was kind of nice, because, you know, everyone was just like, oh, she's a Mary Sue, and blah, 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 but, like, we still got to see that she could use the Force, but she just didn't know she was using the Force.
Yeah, she just thought she was being intuitive.
Yeah, or, like, really good luck, and, I also just like seeing how kind Rey was, because that's, like, one of the best things about her character, like, she didn't hold it against just hungry, and she was kind to it, and in the second episode it helped her, and so I thought that was, I liked that. The Leia one so far of the three is not my favorite, and now I'm just sitting here going, okay, let's do the Ahsoka one. Ahsoka, I want it.
It was nice that they used Daisy Ridley's voice.
I'm excited to see what they do with it, and I'm wondering if they're going to be changing up the format, because after all these little shorts come out, I think it's the 9th, they're going to put them all in, like, one episode on Disney.
Okay.
And then I don't know if they're going to continue doing shorts like that, or if they're going to be episodes. I'm not sure. But I mean, I'm excited to see. I'm just happy to get more Clone Wars content because, oh my god.
Yeah.
And then I realized we haven't had like anything new Padme since Clone Wars. There's been no new Padme stuff.
Maybe in the comics. Not in the new comics, not in the Marvel ones anyway.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably been like EU stuff, but I mean, I'm sitting here going, we're gonna have Padme again. Yay! I wonder if Natalie Portman's doing the voice. I guess so, because they said all the original voice casts are coming back.
Oh, really? So that, well, unless they mean the original voice casting of her from Clone Wars.
Oh.
That's Natalie Portman's expensive, you know. We'll see.
I mean, so,
Disney's got the money to do it, so.
Now it's like Daisy Ridley and like Lupita Nyong'o, and they still came back and did their voices.
Yeah, but they're under contract.
That is true. Let's see. I'm gonna see if I can find who is doing it, because that's a good point. I didn't even think about it being the Clone Wars. One.
I mean, that's cool too, you know.
Yeah, but it would have been cool if it was Natalie Portman though.
Is it not Natalie Portman?
I'm checking. I don't see. They don't have it on IMDb. So, but at least we're gonna get Finn back and Matt Lantern as Anakin. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say it's not on IMDb, so we don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I you can totally tell they're tailored for like tiny girls. But I'm enjoying them. They're fun, like little 2 to 3 minute watch at the end of the day.
Yeah, that was pretty much the only difference, I think. Well, besides sort of the content of the original Clone Wars ones, is it's not as just like super stylized. You know, it's very traditional modern animation in it. There's nothing really like. It's very Disney looking, you know what I mean? Rey looks like a Disney Rey
princess, yeah. Yes.
And so, and the Clone Wars one was like, but I had the same general feeling of it, of like, oh, that was fun, but it's, you know, it's over really fast, and it wasn't anything like, you know, whoa, that blew me away with, you know, its layers of whatever. It was just a nice little scene. And maybe they'll do what the Tarkovsky Clone Wars did, and you know, once it gets going, they'll do, you know, full episodes. I think the Tarkovsky Clone Wars, though, if you put them all together, I think it's only a little over 2 hours of material. So, you know, when they were doing episodes, I think the episodes were like 7 minutes long. I think they went from a minute and a half to like 7 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, I am, because we had mentioned possibly doing that as one of our commentaries, because I haven't seen them in forever. I don't even think I saw all of them, because I remember like little things here and there, but I don't think I've ever saw all of them. So I would love to do that for our commentaries
Well, what's great about it for me is, I mean, for the most part, it's just neat little battles, and you get to see a lot of. It's funny, you get a lot of the guys that you're like, oh, I get to see Plo Koon kicking ass underwater, but, you know, there's a whole episode dedicated to Plo Koon kicking ass underwater in that one, you know, and there's a whole one of Wet Blanket Windu just taking out an entire army of droids while a little kid watches from a sand dune, you know, a very Luke Skywalker looking little kid, and stuff like that. But the only like really like let's advance the story was Grievous, and it sets it there. It's not the clanky, funny, fun Grievous that I love. The Grievous that they set up in this was just a savage killer, you know.
Yeah,
and that was, I think that was in the last couple episodes where, you know, they just had Grievous take out a whole bunch of Jedi you know, sort of without, but while being kind of unseen at the same time, you know, he was just sort of sneaking around and sneak attacking him. And it was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
And you also see why he wheezes at the end of it. It goes right up until the beginning of episode 3. The end of the Tarkovsky one ends probably, you know, 10 minutes before episode 3 starts. So it's interesting.
Okay, I hope we get to see them. Something also that I saw that was kind of cute is IDW is going to release a line of Star Wars kids comics. And I was just like, well, it makes me wonder. These can't be canon because they're not the Marvel Star Wars comics. But what I saw that that really interests me is they today in our store we got in an ash can of them. And I thought they were just going to be little adventures, like Star Wars adventures, but I opened it and there's a splash page. And it's like prequel era, Clone Wars. It had the Rebels characters in it. It had the Force Awakens characters in it. And I was like, oh, this is like everything. And then I went, how did Disney and Marvel let IDW do this?
IDW paid him some money. That's all I can think. Yeah, they'd have to license that stuff out.
I know, so I was just, I'm really excited because I was looking at it and it looks really cute, except for everyone kind of drawn in a wonky kind of, not even like a Disney way, they're more in like a Russia trying to draw a Disney way, bootleg way. But I mean, it looks cute, but like when I opened it, I saw like Kanan and Ezra, and it's like season 2, like season 3 Kanan with his visor. Like, I was like, oh, wow. Okay, you got me, IDW. I'm excited. So, those start in September, and I'm excited for them. Yeah, it's called, like, Star Wars Adventures, I think it's what it's called.
Yeah. I'll probably be picking those up, too.
Me, too, because I love kids' comics already, and I've been wanting, like, a Star Wars kids' comic, and I'm all just like, yes! This is two things I love in one.
I hope they're like 64 pages with just little chunks from all the different eras, you know, so you get a little grab bag. Everything would be really neat.
Yeah, I need to double check. I don't know if it's an ongoing series or if it's a one shot, but if it is a one shot, I would want it to be like 64 pages.
Nice and thick, yeah.
Yeah, but if it's an ongoing series, then I wouldn't mind like one in every era, just focusing on one, because like, if it's anything like the Disney Princess comics, it's like usually like 2 pages for like every princess, and I'm just like, this is great, but I want like more Rapunzel in my life. So I hope it just really depends on how it is, which will decide whether or not I like it or not. So, prisoners, we should get started.
I'm ready.
All right.
I know you're ready to get out of the pool in the old water world.
You know, it's not as bad as I remember. It's just still not great. But it's not as terrible as I remembered it was, as I thought it was going to be, so it's fine. It's okay. So, here we go. Prisoners is the 69th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars and aired on September 23rd, 2011. It was written by Jose Molina and directed by Danny Keller. It was the final part of the Mon Cala Civil War. Some extra episode information for you. Tamsin's death was an homage to the 1975 film Jaws, in which the titty character. I can't talk. Which the shark.
Titty shark.
Titty sharks. Sharks gone wild. Is that what Shark Week is? I've never actually watched Shark Week because it's just like sharks like flashing their titties and it's just like sharks gone wild. Shark Week.
Yep. I don't actually know. Swimming upside down, exposing all their ventricle slits.
And they're like, touch my gills. Yeah. Get right in those gill slits. Ooh.
Usually you just get side gill when you're watching, but on Shark Week, they go nuts. See the full on.
Riff Tamsin's just like, oh, shit. But it's just like Jaws, when the shark is killed by Chief Martin Brody, shoots an airlock tank lodged in the creature's jaw. I found this really funny, guys, that Wikipedia stated the appearance of the Cockroadons, who is Sharkin's people, is based on sharks. No, really, thanks. No shit.
Wow, Wikipedia. That's an astute observation.
I know. I was just like, they're like, their appearance is based on sharks. I was like, no shit, Sherlock.
I guess maybe that's for the benefit of people who haven't seen it and are just reading it, you know, or whatever. But yeah.
But it has a picture on the Wikipedia. Oh. What they look like.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess if you live in the Sahara Desert and don't have the internet, which is why I don't know how you would have Wikipedia in the first place, and you've never seen a shark. Maybe. But then you wouldn't have the internet to look on Wikipedia. So.
There's not many other things that look like a shark face except for a depiction of a shark face, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, back to extra episode information. So as promised the last 2 weeks, Dave Filoni changed up how he did the episode featurette to answer fan questions about the arc. I was holding off writing these fan questions just in case there were spoilers. And spoiler, there is no spoilers. I was wrong. But it's okay. So anyway, the fan question. Does anyone know why they changed the planet name from Mon Calamari to Mon Cala? And what about Dax City? And Dave Filoni said, it's a very simple answer for that. When we are in the writer's room with George Lucas and we talk about making the episodes, George actually has a very big binder with all the planets, planet names, aliens, and all the names that he's created over the years. One of the names in there that he has is Mon Cala. Mon Calamari refers to the people, not the planet. So when we decided that Mon Cala would be the planet, It's one of those cases where some EU material will say one thing and then George Lucas will say another. We tend to go with George Lucas since he created Star Wars. As far as Dax City, when we were in production for Clone Wars, I think the big underwater city was referred to once in the script as Dax City. I think we cut that reference, if I'm correct. Also, in the EU, there were certain above-water cities. Those cities still exist on the planet of Mon Cala. We just couldn't show them in the episode because, frankly, we didn't have the time or the budget for it. And then the second fan question is... Is this the same Mina Tills from episode 3? If so, then why the gender change? And Dave Filoni said, yes, Mina Tills is from episode 3, and she is now in Clone Wars. The name Mina Tills is based on a Lucasfilm employee and friend, Tina Mills, who is happily a lady. I thought her namesake in Star Wars should be a lady. We all assumed, frankly, to be honest, that Mina was female. When we looked it up, we saw it was based on a man, on the fact that a man played her. And we thought, well, Greedo in the movies was actually played by a woman. Most of the cantina aliens are played by women. And in the EU and the canon, the characters are male. So we said that this is precedence in Star Wars and people got it wrong. Plus, Mina is a female-sounding name. It's Mina and Tina, and it would be nice to Tina if Mina was a female fish. Tina was very happy, and everyone was a winner except for our friend who played Mina in episode 3. This is my favorite part. If you look at a fish, because this is what Dave Filoni says, you can't tell if it's a female fish. If you look at a largemouth bass, you can't tell if it's male or female. I know you can tell from slenderness and stripes, but to the average non-fish experts, it's more difficult. So looking at Mina, it could be a male fish or a female fish. Akbar does have a gruffer voice, but it's a bit of a gray area there in the fish world of Star Wars. So don't always assume that if the actor is male, that the alien will be male too. It's a galaxy far, far away, and things are different sometimes. And then the last fan question was... do you think that the Carcharodons, like Sharkin's people, can go out of water, or are they like fish and they can't leave the water? And Dave Filoni said, they are space aliens, shark people. They can absolutely go out of the water. The Mon Calamari, Quarren, and Gungans are all aquatic species and can exist above water. We did the same thing with the Carcharodons. We made sure that the soldiers, when the soldiers were rigged, we made sure that their fins can bend and their feet could bend to work outside of water. You will see this season, actually, some Carcharodons outside of water and happily running around in bare flippers. It's something to look for. Okay, it's not the most exciting thing to look for, but there are happy shark people running around in Star Wars The Clone Wars.
Oh, you know who else is running around looking for flippers?
And bare flippers, looking
bare
for those
naked
gill slits.
As the day they were born, flippers.
Looking for those sharks gone wild and slipping his fingers in the gill slips.
Come on in. Water is fine.
I just made it warmer right around me.
There's like
really
a little green mist around him.
Oh, do you really think Yoda pees green?
Sure.
Oh, no,
it's just like the old joke. What'd you have for breakfast? Pea green soup. What'd you have for lunch? Pea green soup. What'd you have for dinner? Pea green soup. What'd you do all day? Pea green soup. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually really like this platitude with the embed. So take it away, Yoda.
Crowns are inherited. Kingdoms are earned. In bed?
You have to be king of your own bed.
I guess so. You have to, yes, king of your own kingdom.
Which is very hard to do sometimes.
Every Yoda's bed is his castle.
But under the sheets, it's just a little tent.
Yoda pitches that tent every night.
I just imagine Mace Windu just walks into Dr. Yoda and he sees it and he just turns and closes the door and walks away.
Throws a wet blanket over it is what he does.
So have we just came to the conclusion that like Windu just drags around wet blankets everywhere and when he just needs them it just goes womp on top of people?
I wish I could do a Samuel L. Jackson impression because it would be fun to switch up the platitudes with some wet blanket platitudes.
Like the ones that don't work as well?
Yeah, that we'd have to change it to something, you know, that just puts a damper on everything, but yeah, I have no Samuel Jackson in me.
I don't even know if two lines of Samuel L. Jackson is coming to my mind, which is, because that's a stupid ass decision, I'm gonna like to ignore it and get these motherfucking snakes off my motherfucking plane. Those are the only Samuel L. Jackson quotes I could come to my head at the moment. Crowns are inherited, kingdoms are earned.
My motherfucking plane.
Get off my plane! You have a snake.
Kingdoms are snakes earned on my
wild.
Motherfucking plane.
Snake's gone wild. Alright, act one.
I can't wait till we get to the episode with the chicken creatures where I can make cloaca jokes the whole episode.
Chicken creatures?
I don't think it ever happened, but I'm waiting.
Chicken creatures? Yeah.
Someday there'll be a Star Wars chicken creature. They've got to. They'll run out of things to base creatures off of, and they'll have to go to the chicken.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't think there's anything that comes close to a chicken.
No, not yet. There aren't any really bird creatures in Star Wars yet.
That's true. No, you're right. I guess because whenever we see a bird creature, someone's usually riding it.
Yeah.
You know, there's an act... There's an arc in season 6, but I can't remember what the people look like, but they seem like bird people in my mind. Clone Wars. I'm just looking it up.
I don't know. I just like that line. They seem like bird people in my mind.
Yeah, they seem like bird people in my mind, but I can't remember what they look like. Hold on, I'm pulling it up right fast because I feel like they are. Come on, phone. Go faster. Go faster. No, we're not looking at that right now. I'll cry. I can't look at the opening arc of Clone Wars. It'll make me cry. And then that happened, and Anakin was a douche. And then, okay, Jar Jar, here you go. And everyone threw up in their mouths. If people have actually seen season 6, they know what I'm talking about. The world of Bardotta. The Queen Julia. Queen Julia is who I'm looking for. Yeah, she's kind of a bird person. I was right.
Okay.
So season 6. Hold those jokes for season 6.
Okay.
But yeah, she's kind
Writing
of
that
like...
that down. Cloaca jokes, season 6.
Yeah, I mean, she's not like fully a bird, but she kind of looks like a duck. So she's kind of bird-like. She's like if Jar Jar fucked a duck. That's what she kind of looks like. Okay, so just save those jokes till season 6. So, you know, 2 years, we'll get your joke. Oh, why are people still shooting off fucking fireworks? It is July 5th. Go to bed. God. Act 1. Ready?
Act 1.
Sorry. All right, Act 1. To catch you up in the last couple weeks, a civil war has broken out on Mon Cala. The Mon Calamari King got shanked in the back. His son, Lee Char, who I keep calling Charlie, is supposed to be next in line. The other people who live there are these squid people called the Quarren. They're all like, oh, hell to the no! And they start a civil war. I was about to say they started a clone war, but that's a different story. They're backed by the Separatists, being led by a shark man named Riff Tamsin, a.k.a. Sharkin. The leader of the Quarren, Nor Sarai, is starting to regret all of his life choices. Oh, and Padme, Anakin, Ahsoka, and Kit Fister are there. And the Gungans came to help out, and Jar Jar Binks is just being himself. Oh, and everyone is captured except for Prince Charlie and Ahsoka. Everyone good? Good. We're good. All right. On to this week. Yeah. Anakin, Padme, Ackbar, and Kit Fisto are captured and brought to Sharkin. Sharkin is all like, "Nana, nana, boo, boo. I captured you. You suck. I win. Count Dooku is going to make me General Sharkin." And Anakin is like, "Well, you suck, Sharkin, sucker." And Padme is like, "Oh dear, you tried. Gold star. Good job, husband." And Sharkin grabs Padme and Jar Jar and sticks them into mechanical racks. Sharkin also brings out some electrical eels for the heck of being evil. And Kit Fisto is like, "Ooh, those really suck." Sharkin shoves Fisto and Anakin into the middle of the eels. Sharkin demands to know where the prince is. And when he doesn't answer, they jab the eels so one of them shocks Anakin. Quarren leader Nor Sarai continues to regret all of his life choices. And across the city, Prince Charlie is like, "Woe is me and my terrible life choices!" And Ahsoka is like, "Dude, chill. We need a plan. Since the Gungans were our last shot, they were our reinforcements. Like, we don't got nothing. We got you and me." And Charlie says that the Mon Calamari and the Quarren has always had a difficult relationship, but they were always respectful before Sharkin showed up. Prince Guppy misses his daddy, and he decides that he must reunite all the people of Mon Cala. And Ahsoka is like, "That's really cute, but seriously, how are we going to do it? We need a plan." And Guppy Charlie wants to unite all the prisoners and get Captain Ackbar to help. Ahsoka just hopes that he knows what he's doing. What'd you think of Act 1?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I kept thinking during it, man, Sharkin really shouldn't be pissing off Anakin like that. That's how you get a lightsaber through the back. But then I keep forgetting it's not about Anakin as much anymore. So Anakin really doesn't get to get his comeuppance on Sharkin. You know, like, you think it's just, I was watching it going, "Oh, Sharkin, you shouldn't be doing that." But another thing is, we're talking about, okay, Sharkin's based on sharks. Why did they give him dorsal fins on the back?
I don't know.
I think that would have been cool. They look kind of like an action figure with just a regular back. I mean, everybody knows it's a shark. Give him a dorsal fin. And color-wise, another one, good use of color. Last week, like, when you were out of the water, it was sort of sickly orange and then like nice blue underwater. This time, since everything's going crappy, it's all like a lot of sickly yellow and green colors in a lot of scenes. So I think that's really that really is good at setting the scene and tone of the whole thing. Just like we were talking about the last episode, I think they sort of put a point on it. You know, hit it on the nose in this one, where it's this is an arc about how the Separatists, or how Dooku and Palpatine, you know, find a planet and then drive wedges in to separate the people on the planet so they can take over. So it's all about, you know, driving wedges in and then driving wedges out.
Pulling the wedge out and just filling it with droids.
Yep.
just dump a droid bucket into the wedge, and they're just like playing there like, "Oh god, we're stuck in a hole. Ah, but, Jedi."
Yeah, not a lot of notes on part. I think part one just sort of sets the scene and gives you the idea of the whole arc. And then that just sort of sets us up for, you know, battle till resolution, you know. So the first act's slow compared to the next two acts, but, you know, it's just sort of the setup scene. So there's not a lot to it.
Yeah, that was kind of like, I had that note in like act three that the first, like the majority of the episode's relatively slow, but it's the end that was just like, yeah.
It just sort of keeps building up all the way through the through the whole episode.
Yeah. For me, even without Charlie stating his plan to rule Mon Cala, to like unite Mon Cala and the Quarren, it's really freaking obvious that the leader of the Quarren, Nos Arai, just doesn't like Sharkin and how he does things. I mean, so like I didn't really need Charlie to be like, I can't believe Nos Arai is this bad and all those things. I was like, you've been watching it for two episodes. I think they did a much better job with Nos Arai showing that he doesn't like it, opposed to having Charlie telling us that he doesn't like it. And Chris, I forgot to do it last week when Jar Jar showed up, and I forgot to do my Darth Jar Jar theory. Oh, cue that music, Chris.
I forgot all about this.
I know, and then I realized, I was like, oh, Darth Jar Jar!
This foolishness.
I know, and I remembered, like, at 1 a.m. last night, I was like, I must write a Darth Jar Jar theory. So here it is. Darth Jar Jar chooses to lead his people into the fight that they don't need to actually fight. In hoping to weaken the Gungan military, he strategically removes Padme from the battlefield and the Whirlpool to get her captured. With the Gungan military imprisoned on Mon Cala, it opens the door for another Naboo invasion.
Yeah, well, his plan was a failure.
Yeah, just like Jar Jar. That's all I have. It was a very short Darth Jar Jar theory.
Mercifully short.
At least he's about to spit on Padme, so that's evil. Spit on her.
Not just spit, he hawks a big old loogie.
I know. You ready to hear about it in Act 2?
I am.
All right, everyone clear those nostrils. Because Jar Jar is about to... Jar Jar's about to spit on people. Here. We're, like, extra classy this episode. I love it. All right, Act 2. Sharkin and Nos Arai Skype Dooku, and Dooku is like, oh my god, you haven't found the prince yet? What am I paying you guys? And Nos Arai is like, I'm not getting paid anything. And Dooku's like, shut up, Arai! You just need to kill the prince. And Nos Arai doesn't think it's necessary because they won the battle. He just wants to rebuild his planet as the Quarren leader. And Dooku is like, oh, that's adorable. You actually thought you would rule your own planet? No, this planet's mine, bitch. And Sharkin brings in some shark soldiers to continue with their plan. And Nos Arai is like, what plan? What is happening? Why did I lose all control of my life? Meanwhile, Ahsoka and Charlie find a prison camp. When the aqua droids lower the electric barrier, they sneak in. A few of Charlie's people spot him, and the prince is all like, gee whiz, guys, don't lose hope. I'm definitely making up a plan on the fly. And Clone Commander Monk comes up to Ahsoka, and he wants to show them something. Charlie swims away going, next time you see me, I'll be a king. And they follow Commander Monk. While Sharkin is tired of shocking Anakin, this is my favorite part of the episode, Kit Fisto apparently doesn't get shocked once, and he's just floating there in the middle of some eels with no cares in the world as Anakin gets his ass kicked. And I love it. It's hilarious, and it makes me laugh. Finally, Sharkin bites Padme's helmet, giving it a tiny crack. It starts to leak. They only have a small amount of time before she drowns. Commander Monk takes Ahsoka and Charlie to Senator Tills and Captain Ackbar, who is injured. Charlie wants to mount an attack with the Quarren leading it. Ackbar is like, bruh, preposterous, the Quarren betrayed us. Yeah, that was a really good Ackbar impression, me. best one I've ever done. Charlie says he knows that Riff Tamsin killed his father somehow. I mean, we all knew it too, but how does he know? It's not clear. He just somehow knows. And Akbar says that she's seen Dooku do this with planets before. Charlie is ready to lead, and Akbar is ready to gather the people. But oh no, they were spotted by Aqua droids. Ahsoka wants to cut them up, but Charlie stops her. He wants to be taken to the Separatist leader. Ahsoka and Charlie get captured. Back in the city, Sharkin is like, "So Anakin, I'm starting to think that you're telling the truth. You don't know where the prince is." "You think?" says Anakin. The droids call him that they have the prince and are bringing him in. Sharkin wants Charlie to see him on the throne as the ruler. And Nos Hedai is like, "Hold up a moment! I thought I was going to be the ruler!" And Sharkin is like, "Oh, that's cute. Go sing Under the Sea or something. I'm gonna rule so you can suck it, because I'm gonna be your king. You're under my sea now, bitch!" And Anakin's like, "What about Padme?" And Sharkin just doesn't care, and he leaves. But Jar Jar has an idea. But he gets ignored by the Jedi, who use the Force to try and make an air bubble around her helmet. Anakin gets shocked again by an eel, breaking his concentration. And I'm not making this next part up, I promise. Jar Jar hawks a loogie and spits it on Padme's helmet over the crack to stop the water. Anakin's like, "That's gross but effective. Thanks for saving my wife. I almost freaked out there a minute, and I almost exposed my marriage and stuff to Kit Fisto, but I didn't, so you gotta be proud of me." And Kit Fisto just shakes his head at the melodrama of all of it.
Gross but effective. That's Yoda's motto.
So what'd you think of Act 2?
You know, the name Riff Tamsin sounds like a football player in high school in the 50s.
Yeah. It does. It sounds like the cool greaser guy that like brushes his hair back with like, or the football guy. It could be either or. Riff Tamsin. Don't you trust, kids. That's whack.
Okay, here's some more weird physics from this arc.
Okay.
Make a water bubble or an air bubble around Padme. A. Okay, so you're pushing. Where is that air coming from?
I'm guessing it's the air inside her helmet.
Okay.
But even then, the water was still inside her helmet.
Yeah, it just didn't really add up to me, but okay. And, yeah.
My other thing is that they're under immense amount of pressure. Wouldn't it crack faster?
It's sort of like Batman versus Superman, where you're like, really? Pee-pee is a plot point? It's like, actually, Gungan Snot is a plot point in this episode.
I've never seen Batman versus Superman. Can you explain that? What?
A jar of piss is actually used as an important plot point in...
Of course it is.
Batman versus Superman.
After everything I've heard about that movie, of course it is.
It really is. It's not just, like, snarky or whatever. It's an actual, yeah. Anyway.
Oh my God.
I was right. Prince Five Hedia is going about the right course. He's trying to build bridges to you know, counteract the wedge.
I'm still trying to figure out how he figured out Sharkin killed his dad. Because, I mean, yeah, like, it's obvious. We knew, but he was just he was like, "Sharkin killed my father!" And I'm like, when did you find this out?
No, you just, if I was him, I would be the same way. You just know it, you know. You're like, I mean, and he did it with a, I mean, like, Sharkin didn't want to do it, obviously, so he didn't chew him up into pieces. Mm-hmm. But he's... just stuck a knife in it, you know, just speared him with a big long knife. It's very, it's like, you know, anybody else involved in that who was going to kill the king would have, like, blown him up or just shot him with a laser or something, you know. Stuck a knife in his back. It's so obviously Sharkin. We don't even need Sharkin to admit it at any point. I would be confident enough. And hey, you know what? If he didn't kill his father, it doesn't matter, because Sharkin's such a big murderous douche that you could just be like, I'm just going to blame him for killing my father. Any revenge will be will, you know, will be karmically, you know, straight.
He's like the lizard people from Wookiee Hunt. Like, he's just a douche.
Yeah, he's just a predatory douchebag. Who not only is a douche, but he loves being a douche. He's all about it. That's about all the real notes I have for this one.
I'll start off with my silly note. So I started thinking about the Carcharodons are based on sharks, and the Mon Calamari are based on fish, and the Quarren are based on squids. There are animals, and oh my god, I realized the answer to your question, to this question I'm about to ask you. There are animals from our world. What are the animals in our world that you'd love to see as a race of Star Wars characters? And I just realized your answer is chickens.
I wouldn't mind squirrels either.
Oh!
And I'm and just to be a dick, rabbit. I want Jaxxon.
What?
Jaxxon the rabbit from Star Wars, original Marvel Star Wars comics number 7, I believe. He's a green talking rabbit, sort of based on Bugs Bunny. That teams up with Han and Chewie for a little while and a bunch of other people.
Because, like, my immediate answer is cats. Because I love cats. But later in the season, we do get cat people.
We get some cat people.
So I was like, yay. Yeah, we do get cat people. So then I started thinking about it. I think it'd be, I just had it in my head. Oh, I'm actually surprised Dave Filoni hasn't done this yet. But people based on wolves, like wolf people. Because Dave Filoni loves wolves. But I feel like certain animals, like the Quarren and the Mon Calamari, they're like, you know, we were talking about it, like, you know, all the flying animals tended, all the bird animals tend to be rode on, and Dave Filoni likes things riding on wolves. But I kind of want, like, a wolf people. I think that'd be really cool.
There was kind of a wolf man in the cantina, though, in Star Wars. So
that's true.
He could use their people.
I don't know. Ladybugs? The ladybug people. I guess Chewie's a bear.
And a dog.
Can I just say Chris Evans? Can I just have Chris Evans just walking around as his own race of people, of handsome men? The race of Chris's, it's like Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pratt, and Chris Evans, and they're from the Marvel world.
Chris Honeywell.
Chris Honeywell. You're from the land of Chris's.
Okay, but I'll accept that.
I will happily accept that I am from the
I will embrace that concept.
You know, this is an audio podcast. Our listeners don't know what you look like.
Exactly. Now they know. As much as they need to know.
If you look like Chris Evans, I look like a supermodel.
Let's just keep it at that.
Sounds great. So, I just had to laugh at the beginning of this interrogation scene because poor Anakin's just getting the hell shocked out of him, and Kit Fisto is just floating there, just with his arms crossed, just no fucks to give, just, like, standing there watching his friend get shocked, and he's just like, I don't think he gets shocked a single time in the entire episode.
No, I don't think he does.
And I probably just find that hilarious. He's just calmly just watching it, not doing anything, just, yeah, I'm here. I'm in the middle of some eels. It's fine. I feel like his little tendrils, though, like, one might have, like, floated into an eel. I'm like, I was waiting for, like, one of his tendrils to hit, and he'd be like, ow, that hurts. Well, Anakin's getting the shit kicked out of him. So, as he should. We love you, Anakin. But sometimes you're a little shit. So I want to talk about Ackbar for a second. So, you know, he's always been a big hero in the Star Wars movies, and he's always, like, really strong and, like, really cool and stuff like that. But in this act, we get to see that he has no hope, and because they've lost it, he's, like, lost all his hope, and we don't always get to see that side of him. And so, as a minor character, it's really cool for them to add that kind of little layer onto them, because, you know, we don't get him very much, and he's always, like, so brave and a warrior and cool and stuff like that, so it was nice to see a different side of Ackbar that we don't normally get to see, so I really liked that moment a lot.
I noticed that, too, when it happened. And I thought to myself, oh, Ackbar. But at the same time, Ackbar is a general. He's a leader. Well, he's not a general at this point, but he's a leader. You know, he's a leader of bat. You know, he's more into strategy and fighting and stuff. And he's captured. So at this point, you know, when you're someone like Ackbar, your solutions are military. That's what he does. So he's out of options right now. So he's like, sitting there going, well, Now I have to calculate, you know, what to do in loss, because here I am. Because, really, the solution to this whole thing ends up being political. Mm-hmm. You know, it ends up being catalyzing in politics with the prince, you know, playing the Quarren back to his side. And so it's out of, like, at that point, Akbar is like, it's got to be, you know, an all-time low for him because he's you know, he's out of his, the solutions are out of his control, you know, and out of his wheelhouse of knowledge. So,
but
yeah,
it,
he's kind of, and he's younger, so he's kind of disheartened, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying. It's, but we haven't always seen that. Like, I'm thinking
Yeah. Usually when we see Akbar, he's behind the...
I'm not talking about Akbar. I'm talking about just, like, other military leaders in Clone Wars.
Oh.
The scene that I'm thinking of is... I can't remember the guy's name, but he's the older human general that has a little bit of, like, of a Scottish accent. And at the end of the Boba Fett, like, in the Boba Fett season finale in season two, him and, like, three other clones got captured by Boba Fett and Aurra Sing and all of them. And he's been, like, that leader, you know, like, the entire time he never gave up. He kept trying to talk to Boba Fett. He was like, you know, these are your brothers. You know, we can help you. You know, you don't have to do this. You can find a place. We'll give you a new home. And, like, he, like, never stopped trying to negotiate, even up until the point of, like, his men, like, you know, Boba Fett was, like, killing his men one by one, and he kept trying to negotiate. He kept trying to act. But it was different this time.
It's a different situation.
Yeah. But I do like this with Akbar, too, because he's surrounded by his people, and they're disheartened, and they're captured. And it makes sense. It makes sense. And I do like seeing this new side of Akbar. And it's kind of cool seeing how, like, different captured military generals handle
I don't think Akbar is as much like, I'm a tough fighting guy. He's an intellectual strategist, you know. He gets into it, but he's still, like, you know, he's not... You know, I don't take the Mon Calamari as being very physical, you know?
Yeah, they're kind of shrimpy.
Right. Yes. Yes, they are.
Yeah. So I know this is a kid show, but it's so obvious that Sharkin would double-cross the Quarren and kill the king and all that. And that's why this is such a pretty mediocre episode of Clone Wars. Because it's nothing groundbreaking story-wise, and I keep thinking that I think that these three episodes would have fared much better in season two or three.
No, it was the only thing, I guess, groundbreaking about it was it's in a different set. It's in an underwater setting. So it's more on the technical aspect of it.
The actual animation is the groundbreaking part.
Yeah,
but
I'm
sitting here going, like, story-wise, this is like a season two, season three story. Like, we've already moved past that. So it was definitely, it's part of the reason why this is such a mediocre arc to me. So last episode, Jar Jar couldn't hear underwater, and now he can hear everyone. I mean, that's just consistency. Come on.
I've got the no prize for that. When he expelled the big blob of snot, it cleared out his ears so he could hear better.
Come on.
The water pressure put all that. It's like when you get on a plane and you fly and, like, you can't hear. When he expelled that snot, it cleared up his ears and he could hear better.
Come on.
I'm sticking with it.
Ugh.
I'm not one to, like, overly defend Jar Jar.
I know. That's why I'm saying, come on. All right, my last note is Anakin was, like, 2 seconds away from apologizing to Padme over not being able to save her and exposing his marriage in front of Kit Fisto.
Yeah. It was lucky that her she was sort of, like, roughed up by Sharkin, so that then he had an excuse to, like, carry her away in his arms. Legitimate Jedi excuse.
It's also lucky that Jar Jar has really good spitting aim.
Yeah. It would have been disastrous if it missed and, like, hit one of the guards or something.
Yeah, because then he'd be like, oh, I need another hour to build up my snot again.
Yeah, I think he would have... Yeah, I don't think he would have made it the hour. I think the sharks would have pretty much shredded him.
Yeah. Oh, we were so close to losing Jar Jar. Damn.
I've got notes on that. After part three.
I'm losing Jar Jar?
To that effect, yes.
Oh my gosh, well, that's all I have for Act 2.
Are you ready to go to Act 3? Are we ready to get into the action?
Yes. Guys, remember last week when I said I would do more fish puns?
Here we go. I see them all in capital letters.
I told you I would do fish puns. Ready? Act 3. In the throne room, Sharkin is boasting to the prince and Ahsoka about he's the best and he's won and you meddlesome kids almost ruined my plans, but not this time, Scooby Gang. And finally, Prince Charlie is like, you have released the Kraken in my tiny body, Sharkin. I will not be coy with you anymore. I will not let you krill my people. I will unite my former enemies, the Quarren, as I refuse to flounder anymore as a leader. I will not be a little shrimp. I will be the king of the sea. And Nos Sarai is like, scale back the fish puns. I'm already ready to kick some shark ass. And Charlie is like, stop, hammer time. Get it? Like a hammerhead shark? And Nos Sarai is like, God, just please stop. Sharkin asks Nos Sarai if he will do it and join Prince Charlie. Nos Sarai, chickens of the sea, out, since Sharkin scares the carp out of him.
Oh.
Sharkin has a public execution ready for the prince, who begs Nos Sarai, there's still time to save their people. See, I told you I would have fish puns this episode. I did it. Anyway, Team Anakin, Padme, Jar Jar, Fisto get taken to the execution area of the prince. Anakin's like, good job, Ahsoka. You got captured. And Ahsoka is like, chill. We have to let it unfold. And Anakin's like, dude, when did you become a better Jedi than I am? Sharkin is giving a big speech about killing the prince, and one of the Quarren tell Al-Ekbar that the Quarren are with them and hands him a weapon. The shark's going for the kill, but Nos Sarai inks up the place and swoops in and saves the prince, and the people are called to fight. Between the Gungans, the Quarren, the Mon Calamari, and the Jedi, they all start kicking ass. This includes Ackbar headbutting the head clear off a droid, and it's awesome. He gives a cool guy a neck crack and goes to fight some more. The good guys are starting to bust out some windows of squid droids and flooding them with water rushing in and making them explode. And we even see a really bitchin' female Mon Calamari kick some ass, and I want to know everything about her because I love her already. Sharkin's not playing around anymore. He stabs a few Mon Calamari with exploding knives, and they burst into pieces. Finally, a Sharkin versus Charlie to be the best Aquaman, King of Atlantis. Sharkin is all like, I killed your daddy! And Charlie is like, I knew that somehow already! And they fight. And Charlie gets one of Sharkin's exploding knives and stabs the shark with it. He takes aim with his blaster and shoots the knife. Sharkin explodes, thus ending his reign and making someone a delicious fish dinner for that night. And then his dead head floats by because this isn't a kid's show anymore. Nos Sarai and Ackbar cheer for Charlie, who is recognized as the true king of Mon Cala. With the water cleared, Nos Sarai crowns Charlie as king of Mon Cala. The end.
Now there's some action.
Yeah! Finally!
So if you can make a Jedi bubble with your brain,
yeah,
why not make just a little Jedi bubble inside Sharkin's brain or something? Inside his blood vessels, give him a heart attack. You know what I mean?
Jedi rules of preserving life and prosperity.
Yeah. Well, so much for them about 3 seasons back.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to Anakin.
The last 3 seasons of Anakin just shanking people.
I love that the Quarren, when they get pissed off and jump into action, start squirting ink like squids.
Yeah, I took it as a distraction because it, like, hit them.
Yeah. They used it for the same in the same way that a squid would use ink. I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my last note is my Gungan joke. Or joke, note. Every Gungan that got killed, and a couple Gungans got killed pretty horribly. You know, for a split second, you're not sure if it's Jar Jar or not. So you're like, is that Jar? Like, and they're doing stuff like
going, I have that thought too.
And they're doing stuff like going, oh no, before they get blown up. And I'm like, this is some pretty graphic Gungan deaths. I wonder if they knew people would sort of be into that in a sort of unpleasant way. That you sort of did get to see Jar Jar get taken out several ways, but it wasn't really Jar Jar. But you still, you know, but you still sort of get it, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think there was a little bit of a little element of that in this battle. I really liked the ending of this. I thought it was a fun underwater battle, and it got pretty savage. I love the Jaws reference. And even Sharkin's head floating sort of reminds me of a scene in the beginning of Jaws 3D, except it's a fish head, but it does the same sort of thing and just sort of floats on the screen and gives a little dip.
Yeah. Sort of along those lines, I think Sharkin stabbing people with exploding knives is the first bit of, like, brutal Clone Wars stuff of season 4. And then we get to see his dead head. So strap in, kids. It just goes downhill from here.
Yeah.
It's just going to get progressively more brutal as we go. Like, we've already had some of this, like, precedents, like Geonosis and in, you know, an entire arc about human trafficking. But, like, this is the first bit of season 4 where it's like, oh, we just watched Mon Calamari explode into pieces. Holy shit. That's, I forgot about that, and I was, I completely forgot about that. So when one exploded, I was just like, oh, shit, he just exploded.
Yeah, there's so, sort of a cloud of blood there, too, you know, when it happens.
I know. I guess it's like, I guess the water, like, kind of helps make it not quite as brutal. It's like, think of it if it was above land and it was a clone. Holy crap.
Well, you see all the little tiny pieces, little hunks of Sharkin go floating by when he gets blown up, you know, even before you see his head. You see all, he's taken down into meaty hunks, you know, stew-sized hunks.
Do you think he got past the sensors because they're not people, they're fish?
They're fish, yeah. Yeah, I like robots he, like, and stuff, yeah.
If this was like clones, I think Cartoon Network would have been like, Dave, you can't. He'd be like, but... Okay, I'll fix it. Let me get fish people.
Yeah, no, if, you know, you could show a fish person. I mean, I think for somebody like a parent to be like, I'm calling this in, you would have had to seen a fish person like holding in their intestines or something like, oh God, why? You know, that sort of thing. And they would have been like, yeah, okay, too far.
Yeah.
Seeing a shark get blown up, okay.
It was a bad guy, it's fine.
Yeah.
Anakin, Ahsoka's so much of a better at being a Jedi than Anakin.
Yes, she is. She's way more cut out for it than he was.
Yeah. So one of my gripes of this arc is I just wish Padme did more. like she's such a badass last season. Like last season she had all those political episodes, but we also got to see her fight and she got a biker chase and she like fought an assassin. And for this story arc, though, she's just the damsel in distress the entire, all three episodes.
I think they're moving a lot of the movie characters off a little into the background more, it seems like, since the end of season 3 and now in season 4. They're putting them in there, but they're not the ones, you know, they all have stuff to do in little scenes, but they're not the ones moving the story as much as they used to, you know?
Yeah. And so, like, it just was a little frustrating because, like, we know what a great fighter she is and she's smart and she's really good at negotiations. But, and, like, so, like, while I like that this arc is about Charlie finding himself in politics and stuff, I just really missed what was best about Padme. And she just got resorted into a damsel in distress character again. Yeah. It was like the Clone Wars movie all over again.
Yeah.
And it was just like, why is Padme
except she
even
had a little
there?
Less to do than in the Clone Wars movie.
You could have removed Padme from this entire arc and not missed her.
Yeah, it wouldn't have made any difference at all.
Yeah, I mean,
you could
at least
have removed
like,
Anakin.
Yeah, I mean, at least, like, you mean Kit Fisto?
Or Kit Fisto, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but at least, like, they had things to do because, like, they were helping to fight and stuff like that. Like, I don't, you know, I think Ahsoka, or not Ahsoka, but Padme picked up a blaster at some point and was, like, trying to fight, but she, like, got caught up in the whirlwind and she was sitting with the senators and stuff. So, like, honestly, all her only role was her helmet got bit by a shark. That's all she had.
She gets spit on by Jar Jar.
I know! Like, what? Yeah! So I just wish Padme did more.
Spat upon.
So I really wanted more of that. I sort of want to argue that this is kind of a Jedi-like arc. I mean, Ahsoka does a lot, mostly by aiding Charlie. So she counts, but Anakin and Fisto, just as you said, they didn't really do much. Like, you could have taken them out of the arc probably as well, and it could have just as worked as well. So, yeah. Okay, Chris, I have a question. Is this a good Jar Jar episode?
That's a good question. It's not a bad Jar Jar episode because he's not really in it too much.
Yeah.
But it's... the snot thing I thought was pretty okay. It didn't bother me. It was fairly funny, and I was... it was funny that they'll show a severed shark head, but they wouldn't have Padme say the word snot.
Yeah.
She just sort of, like, trailed off. He covered it up with his... But, yeah, it's not bad. Jar Jar doesn't really harm the episode, I don't think. I don't think he takes away from it, but I don't think he really adds a lot to it either. It's more like, you know, it's like this one's sort of like you brought him to a party and at the end of the night, you're like, oh, okay, we got through that without him ruining everything, you know?
Yeah.
There wasn't any, like... Oh, Jar Jar just fucked everything up, you know, by bungling this or something like that or something stupid like that. So
it's kind of like that time I was right.
It leans more towards good, I guess.
It's kind of like that time I was right and he was juggling.
No.
I'm never letting you down. But our listeners agreed.
That doesn't make it right.
Our podcasts are on the internet, Chris. If it's on the internet, it's true.
All right.
No, it's not, guys.
I'll go get you some information. I'll start sending you some true information then.
You're going to start sending me, like, Jar Jar playing with, like, writing his worm pal again, aren't you?
What's that?
You're going to send me, like links of Jar Jar writing his worm friend again from, like, season one, aren't you?
Yeah, and if that doesn't go well, I'll just go straight to finding some Jar Jar porn pictures and sending them to
you. No, oh, God, no.
I'll find ones with him and Yoda. How about that?
Oh, it's even worse because, like, I have images in my head, and it's just awful. Oh, and that tongue, the long tongue. Ugh. I think I just threw up some in my mouth. Anyway, moving on. As much as I do think this arc would work better in season 2 and 3, we wouldn't have been able to appreciate Ahsoka's growth showcased in these episodes. So that is something, a good nod for it, of why it's here. Because if you know, if we had an episode like in season 2 where Ahsoka was just like, I'm fighting, I'm winning, watch me parkour. And then we get into if this episode followed and it was just like, chill, we have a plan, it'll be fine, patience, I'd be like, what happened to Ahsoka?
Yep. If this was earlier, they would have had to use Anakin and
probably Obi-Wan.
Kit Fisto as that role, as the Ahsoka role.
You know, I wish Kit Fisto did more too. He's such a cool guy and I love him. But he just floated there in eels and watched Anakin get his ass kicked.
He's riding on that smile, man. He's coasting on his smile.
I know. Dancing through life, skimming the surface. Start singing some Wicked in here. Oh, that is his theme, dancing through life. It's just life. Just keep dancing through. Oh, man. Now I'm imagining Kit Fisto as Fiero in Wicked. He would get Glinda, though, and then he'll get Elphaba. It'd be great. Anyway. Where was I? I do also really, really, really enjoy the character of Nos Arai. I think he's a really good character, and I think they handled him very well, showing how quickly he got in over his head with the Separatists. I think they did a very, very good job of that character. Because unlike Charlie, who was just stating everything, we got to see everything that Charlie was dating through No Sarai, and we could have taken all the Charlie lines, and it would have worked just as well. So I think they handled that character very well of showing and not telling what was happening.
I agree.
Yeah. And as much as I did bemoan this arc for weeks leading up to it, I did enjoy it much more this time through.
Oh, I know. I just finished editing our season 3 wrap-up, and you were trashing it. I was like, listening to it, and I'm like, oh, man, she softened her opinion, so she was just like, I hate Waterworld. Hate it.
I mean, it's still not my favorite. There's still, like, way better things to get to. But it's still not my favorite. But at the same time, I'm just like, it's not better toxic. The second time through. Yeah. So my opinions can change. I'm still not like gonna rush out to watch it again anytime soon. And this last act is so greatly needed, because the majority of the episode is talking and hiding, Anakin getting his ass kicked, and like sitting and talking more, and sneaking like swimming in a prison camp and talking. And so it was just great to have, like, a final big fight to put the pacing back into it.
Yeah, I thought it escalated nicely, actually. I thought, I enjoyed the fight. I thought it was visually just very nice, comparable to the Wookiee hunt.
And it just, it's just nice to watch Sharkin get blown up.
Yeah, it was. They gave him 3 episodes to get his, and he gets his. It is very satisfying.
Yeah. They've had some really good villains lately, because, like, there was the Warden of the Citadel. We had 3 episodes of him, and we really got to know him, and it was satisfying when he died. And then we had the Lizard People, and mm-hmm. they were really fun to watch, and it was super satisfying when they died. And now we have this guy. And so, like, they've been doing really good with, like, their minor villains. That's not, like, Grievous and Dooku. Because again, like you said, there's only so much you can do. So, like, it's, like, they're bringing in these original villains that are interesting, they're smart, they're crafty, it causes ebb and flows of the battles back and forth. And so, like, they've now that I think about it, they've done really good with their last, like, 3 mini bosses of the last, like, 3 arcs. So, good job, Star Wars.
Yeah, and at the same time, that these guys are all, they're very similar, and they're sort of scenery-chewing, just, like, just full-out enjoying being bad guys, sort of power-hungry. But that's the sort of guy, like, they're on a lower tier from Dooku and Palpatine and Grievous. They're like little would-be dictators. They want to get their, like, Sharkin wants he's okay being with the Separatists. He just wants his own planet that, he's in charge of, so he can just savage people,
Yeah.
So you're going to attract when stuff like the Separatist army starts going up, and that they set up that they're going to look for guys like these guys to be in charge of places. So you're going to end up with a lot of these little, like, sadistic and vicious little tin pot dictators. And it's always satisfying to see them get theirs,
It kind of reminds me of the Empire. I remember reading a thing that, like, when setting up, like, people in the Empire and stuff like that, Palpatine had his captains and commanders, like, purposely look for people who had been bullied and wronged to be stormtroopers, because that way they could retaliate back.
Right, right.
And it made them more savage, because they had been,
like, they're getting to express the power that they never had, They have the authority to express power, and
Yeah, though I will say one of my favorite images is when they captured Charlie and Ahsoka, and Sharkin's talking to him. At one point, he floats sitting cross-legged, and I was just like, oh, that's a really nice little motion.
Yeah.
Sits floating cross-legged in the middle of the ocean underwater.
There's no real reason for it at all or practical reason for it. It just looks neat. It's neat. It reminds me of, like, a genie or something.
Yeah. But that's really all I had for the episode. You want to wrap it up, Chris?
Ready to score this puppy up?
Yep. Go for it.
Well, it's fairly I gave this one another 8.5. This was my favorite of the three. I thought this was the best one because of the final battle and because of all the adult bits of people getting blown up and stuff. So this was a solid, fun... I loved it. 8.5.
For me, the last three episodes, like, these are just okay still. I mean, I really do feel like they would have worked better in season two or three because of the story. And because it's predictable, and it's all been done before. And I said that last week, exact same thing I said last week. I do like the fight, and I really do enjoy seeing Nosurai's change, because it's really well done. But, I mean, it's just, it's okay. It's not blowing my mind. So I'm going to give it my average score of 7 out of 10. It's okay.
All right, so we're pretty much on the same track as we were.
Yeah,
I think three episodes.
Like, the first episode I did a 7. The last one I did like a 6.95 for Jar Jar, and this one was a 7. Like, they're all very just average run of the mill episodes for me. I don't know
what's coming in season 4 as much as you do, but at the same time, I'm not as negatively inclined towards sort of more superficial arcs like this one, because I know that, you know, you're going to get some of these, and then you're going to get some that are more deeper character arcs and stuff. So I'm happy to have one that's fun that doesn't have to necessarily progress things. If the whole season was going to be like this, then I would probably be, you know, they would start getting scored lower and lower as time goes on, you know.
Don't worry, they're not.
That's not where it's going.
If it makes you feel any better, I think it's next week, but it's a Grievous episode.
Okay.
But it's going to be, it's also a Jar Jar episode.
Okay.
If it's the one that I think it is, it's a Grievous and Jar Jar episode, if I remember correctly.
Well, I hope they're handcuffed together.
Oh my god. He would just cut off his hand and just, like, Grievous would just cut off Jar Jar's hand and walk away.
Yep.
No, he would spider crawl away, just like,
with Jar Jar's hand just sort of flapping in the handcuff behind him. Flop, 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 flop.
Yes. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on either iTunes, Twitter, or the Two True Freaks Facebook page, especially on iTunes, because if you rate and review us on iTunes, it helps other people find the show. So if you like us, give us a shout-out on iTunes, or if you don't like us and you want to tell us, like, how terrible and tragic we are, direct it at Chris, and because I don't handle it well, and just let us know what you think. So this week, feedback comes from our Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode Counter Attack. So take it away, Chris.
All right. First one here comes from Aaron Henley, and he says, "Darn you, Tarkin, Echo, no!" So, more of an exclamation than a than
you
feedback.
A good chance to be like, no, no,
no.
Because you said echo, so it's like echo.
Oh. No. Just reminding everybody, it's okay. You can swear on our Facebook page. So, darn you, Tarkin is acceptable, but you could be, damn you, Tarkin. Damn you to hell!
Tarkin, you fucking trash bag of horror.
Or you could go that route too.
Oh, Tarkin is just like the lowest shit that, like, I scrape out of my cat's litter box and then take out into our garbage bin. Then you throw it in there in the 100 degree heat, and then you open the garbage bin, and you're just like, oh, that smells like Tarkin's.
Straight up Tarkin. All right. We get one from Paul C. Kelly.
Oh, supposed to
and if you can hear by my cough, I'm really glad I'm not getting a Patrick Delmore one to read today.
Yeah. This was the Counterattack was the one where we read his iTunes review, so.
Okay, so he says, thanks for reading off my iTunes review.
You're welcome.
Tarkin-Anakin chemistry here was again something I wish was shown somewhere in the prequels, but this is great. Have to watch this again. You know, if they put it, probably would have been too much to put in the prequels, but that's sort of what these shows are for, you know, to flesh out that stuff. Okay,
yeah.
So back to his words. Have to watch this again. I almost forgot about R2 leading reprogrammed battle droids. How can you forget that?
That was the best part. It was the best thing ever.
This will be more interesting seeing Fives in this, as you had mentioned. I never really caught on to the clone characters, but you guys definitely made them stand out, especially Rex with Hope.
You're welcome, because the clones are precious babies who must be wrapped in bubble wrapped and protected at all costs.
I cannot stand Sandler's new movies, but I did like Happy Gilmore.
Oh, yeah, because we went on a tangent about how much we hated Adam Sandler. Oh, how much you hated Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler.
He's all right.
It may have been because I watched it with someone who is a serious golfer who knew the game is respectful and quiet, so the humor of making noise and tossing beach balls around just worked well. I was also 14 when it came out, those two, so I was probably a prime audience. Yes, exactly. Anyways, great show.
Thank you, Paul.
And now we're getting a major, major insight into one of our freaks out here, and of course that's the legendary Gene, the podcasting machine. Gene. And Gene Hendricks says, how do I listen to all the shows? And just for you guys who maybe haven't caught it in the past, Gene listens to every single Two True Freaks podcast that comes out and has come out.
Do you guys realize how many shows we have on the Two True Freaks Network?
If you had any idea, just like...
We have like 40 shows on Two True Freaks Networks, and he's listened to like every single one of them.
Every single one. Okay, so, and the natural question is, Gene, how the hell do you do that? And Gene says, how do I listen to all the shows? Simple, I listen at work, in the car, while mowing the lawn, and while walking, which I need to do more of. I heard he did 1.7 miles the other day. Actually, he did 1.7 miles mowing the lawn, so that's cheating, so he can't count mowing the lawn and walking. Plus, listening to podcasts at 1.25 or 1.5 speed helps. I guess a lot of people do that. I don't think I could do that.
I have a few friends who've done it. I've tried it before. It's just, I didn't like it. It wasn't my thing, because sometimes you miss, like, those, like... You know how, like, like the little natural beats, like, you know, like sometimes, like, for example, you'll tell a joke and it takes me a second and then I laugh, but it's funny because it took me so long to get the joke.
Right. You can hear it sinking in, or, you know, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I have tried that before. It wasn't my thing.
Yeah. I don't know if I could do that. And it would be weird, you know, if it was just two people talking, but with music and stuff, that would mess me up a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is something we slacked again. But I've picked out the candy.
All right, what do you want to do?
I want to do the flake.
Let me see if I can find it.
The crumbliest, flakiest milk chocolate, it says on it. It's a long yellow and purple pack.
I got it. So Chris is a big crybaby, and he hates American chocolates and candies and everything that's, candy. And so our friend Dario Gonzalez, who was Chris's co-podcaster for Eat It and Beat It, is a flight attendant, and he sends us candy from all over the world to review. And this is from England. Oh my god,
England.
I hope it's like eating Michael Sokka. Oh.
I haven't opened it yet.
Me neither.
I'm opening it carefully because I have a feeling there's going to be little pieces. It's just sort of like just what I figured it would be, just little layers and layers of...
What? It's not what I thought. You know, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like, I've eaten them so many times, but it's like a tube of chocolate, but it's like wrapped in a cookie, and they're long. That's what I was expecting this to look like, but it kind of looks like some frosting that got squeezed out and then dried.
Yes, it's
sort of like a turd.
A turd or like rock layers, and it's very dry when you bite into it, and then it melts.
Mmm. Oh my god.
So it's like dry and kind of flavorless when you first bite into it, and then the chocolate starts melting on your tongue. And it's a very... Well, it's milk chocolate. It really evokes hot chocolate to me.
So I'm trying to pick it up off my floor because it flaked on my floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my cats would be like, what's this? And then I'll be driving my cats to the vet.
I'm sort of holding the piece of paper that Dario has all the chocolates named on under it to catch all the little pieces, because I just vacuumed my floor just about an hour before this podcast, so.
Mm. Oh, man. It's really good, because it's not as sweet as I thought it was going to be, but I was also expecting like a cookie.
So I also read somewhere somebody was talking. There was some stupid meme where it had like, you know, the major chocolate, like a Hershey bar, a Kit Kat, you know, a Snickers bar, a Mounds bar, and it's like you have to give up one of these, and everybody was giving up the Hershey bar. And down in the comments, somebody, and they knew the actual ingredient that they add to American chocolate now, because they said, oh, I'm from, you know, from Europe, and American chocolate tastes like spoiled milk. And then another person, you know, helpful internet person goes, well, there's a good reason for that, because they discovered that people liked the sort of sour tone to the spoiled milk in milk chocolate, and started adding that chemical to chocolate in America.
Hmm.
And people just started associating that with the flavor of chocolate. So it's just sort of gets added in into, it's sort of an ingredient in most of the chocolate that you eat in America.
You know, this would be really good to put into coffee, or mm-hmm. actually into hot chocolate, like you said, just like mm-hmm. kind of like you said, just stir your hot chocolate or your coffee and just let it melt in there. Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah,
I kind of wish I still had some coffee left to drink.
Yeah, it's getting kind of late to start drinking coffee now.
I've already finished. I have like one sip left. Well, thank you as always, Daria. We love you. Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com, sitting amongst all my golden jewels of podcasts, cackling to myself, probably in my underwear, probably needing a shower, and we've just got a million podcasts on there of all different stripes. Maybe even a new Who True Freaks coming up. We have a Facebook presence with a Two True Freaks Facebook page and a Two True Freaks Cantina, where you can just go and gossip and talk and generally be rabble. The Two True Freaks page is basically like where you go to see which podcasts are going up and talk about them. We've got a Two True Freaks Twitter account run by the aforementioned Gene, the podcasting machine. Bada bada ba bum, Gene.
I was thinking what episode was next week.
And we're all over the place. What about you, Hope? You got stuff to plug internet wise.
Yeah, I run our Twitter, which is at Jagas and Jedi, which I've been talking to a really cool person called Rex on Leave, and they seem really nice, and they post a lot of Rex pictures, so I love them. I love them already.
Just the concept of Rex on Leave is like pure catnip to you anyway.
Yeah, so I'd be like, yes, leave, and then come to my house. Mm-hmm. Rex. You can also find me at Hope Molinax, and I also am the news writer for whatthefangirl.com, and where I post stuff. So, yeah, that's all I have. I was right. Next week's episode is the Jar Jar Binks General Grievous episode.
Excellent. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think this is exactly what I think it is. Aw, I like episodes by Brian Callen O'Connell. He does really good stuff. And the photo for the episode is Grievous with lightsabers surrounded by Gungans. So there you go, Chris. Something
there
to
look you for. Are. Lots of potential in that.
So, maybe possible more like pretending Jar Jar is being killed fantasies. Yep. Well, I guess that's all I have. So until next time, go look up Yodo Jar Jar porn. Have fun.
Get out of the water. Everybody get out of the water. If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O.
TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
We were finally invited aboard one of these spacecraft, which landed near Ann Arbor, Michigan on October the 24th of 1954. This is a drawing of the craft. As I was leaving the craft, the commander, Soltek, said, "Soon others of your people will be able to have an experience similar to this."